Welcome to Bite-Sized Frights. This week we continue with part 3 of our 50 States of Fear series, a road trip through some of the most bizarre and terrifying urban legends found across America. In this episode, we explore some truly horrifying tales of witches, Wendigo, curses and cannibals that for many of you might be a little too close to home. Fifty States of Fear, Part 3, from Massachusetts to New Jersey. This series contains disturbing content. Listener discretion is advised. The Puckwudgies, Massachusetts. These small, troll-like humanoid creatures, originally found in the folk stories of the Native American Wampanoag tribe, are not dissimilar to the leprechauns of European myth. They supposedly roam the swamps and dark forests of New England and have large, glowing eyes, pointed ears and smooth, grey-skinned bodies that bristle with porcupine-like spikes. According to legend, the Puckwudgies were once seen as little more than harmless pranksters that lived, more or less, in harmony with mankind. When the humans of the Wampanoag tribe began to dedicate all their time and devotion to Maushop, the giant that created Cape Cod, the Puckwudgies became jealous and troublesome. The Wampanoag complained to Maushop, who exiled the little creatures to the swamplands, killing many of them as he did so. The Puckwudgies grew to despise humans for their part in the slaughter. They sought revenge, murdering the giant Maushop and his sons while they slept, before disappearing into the forests. It is said that the Puckwudgies still lurk in the dark, damp places of Massachusetts, using their evil tricks to lure unsuspecting travelers to their deaths. Sometimes they will silently stalk their victims through the trees until the person loses their mind, their memories, their sense of direction. The Puckwudgies will watch and laugh as their human prey becomes hopelessly lost, slowly starves to death. Other times they will blind their victims with sand, steal their children, hunt them with poison-tipped arrows, or lead them astray to blunder off high cliffs. Those who commit suicide in the forests of New England are said to have been influenced by the tiny tricksters. There are numerous reported sightings of Puckwudgies in the woods of Massachusetts to this day. It seems that this fairy tale feud still far from over. The Nom Rouge, Detroit, Michigan. In the early 1700s, French explorer Antoine de la Mothe Cadillac founded the city of Detroit. Shortly afterwards, according to legend, he brought about a terrible curse that still plagues Motor City to this day. The story goes that Cadillac was warned by a gypsy fortune-teller to be wary of the Nom Rouge, the Red Dwarf, demon of the Strait, a hideous, hunched, red-skinned devil with a mouthful of needle-sharp teeth that prowled the local area. If he ever met this foul creature, Cadillac was to show it nothing but the deepest respect, or suffer the consequences. When the explorer did encounter the Nom Rouge on a bridge outside the city, he was so disgusted by its grotesque appearance that he swiped at it with his cane and demanded that it get out of his path. From that moment, Cadillac was cursed with misfortune. He was soon accused of abuse of power and removed from his post. He was sent back to France, where he was imprisoned and later died, penniless and bitter. The curse of the Nom Rouge lingered over the city of Detroit. It is said that its very appearance is a sign of approaching disaster. It was reportedly first seen on July the 30th, 1763, right before the Battle of Bloody Run, where British soldiers were massacred by warriors of the native Ottawa tribe. The Nom Rouge danced amongst the corpses, while the Detroit River ran red with blood. Then it was seen in 1805, on the day a huge fire nearly destroyed the entire city, and again in 1967, right before the devastating 12th Street riot. In 1976, two construction workers swore that they saw a small, laughing, red-skinned figure perched on top of a utility pole. The next day, a brutal ice storm crippled Detroit, bringing the city to a standstill. For the last 10 years, a banishment parade has been held in Detroit. Locals march through the streets, with the event culminating in the burning of an effigy of the Nom Rouge. A bit of fun for most, but enough, perhaps, to keep the beast at bay. The Wendigo, Minnesota. According to Native American legend, there are monsters in the dark, misty woods of northern Minnesota. Known as the Wendigo, these terrifying humanoid creatures are described as being 10 to 15 feet tall, with long claws, yellowed fangs, and sunken, glowing eyes. They are gaunt, thin to the point of emaciation, their scabbed gray skin stretched tight over jutting bones. It is said that whenever a person resorts to eating human flesh in order to survive, a Wendigo is created. The cannibal will be transformed into one of the monstrous creatures, doomed to wander the forests forever, cursed with a terrible, insatiable hunger for flesh. Wendigos are often described as having tattered, shredded lips. As their hunger is so great, they begin to gnaw at their own bodies. As they walk, their footprints fill with blood that leaks from the stumps of toes that have been torn off and devoured in the madness of starvation. Amongst the indigenous tribes of the region, there are reports of Wendigo psychosis dating back hundreds of years. This rare syndrome is said to cause intense cravings for human flesh. The infected individual will increasingly perceive people around them as being edible. At the same time, they develop an acute fear of becoming cannibals. Native healers would attempt to cure this terrible delusion, but if those infected became aggressive, they were swiftly executed. It is horrifying to think that the Wendigo is most likely a cautionary tale, stemming from the multitude of reports of Native Americans and early white settlers that resorted to cannibalism when they became stranded or lost in the bitter depths of winter. That being said, Wendigo sightings and encounters are still reported to this day. Perhaps there is some truth behind this monstrous myth. The Three-Legged Lady, Columbus, Mississippi. There is no shortage of allegedly haunted roads in America. There are rumors from every state of restless spirits that stalk the highways. However, the ghost that haunts Nash Road, just outside of Columbus, Mississippi, might just be the most horrifying of them all. This lonely lane that winds its way through dark forests is said to be the home of the Three-Legged Lady, a hideous spirit that torments drivers by chasing their cars with inhuman speed. The eerie phantom takes her name from the fact that she has a third leg, a grotesque, rotting limb sewn to her body. Some say the leg was removed from the corpse of her dead lover and kept as a grisly memento. Others claim she is the spirit of a grieving mother who got lost searching for her murdered daughter, and all that she could find was that sad, severed limb. It has even been suggested that a nearby church was home to a secretive satanic cult that performed human sacrifice, and that the Three-Legged Lady is the result of one of their gruesome rituals. Whichever version you choose to believe, those who wish to see the Three-Legged Lady should stop on Nash Road in the dead of night, turn off their lights, and honk their horn 3 times. Look in the rearview mirror, and you will see the grotesque spirit appear behind your vehicle. She will knock on the roof, and if you drive away in horror, she will give chase, running at incredible speed whilst slamming her mutilated body into the side of the car. They say she wants to race you to a nearby bridge. If she beats you to it, you are never seen again. Molly Crenshaw's Grave, St. Charles, Missouri. As the story goes, Molly Crenshaw was a freed Jamaican slave who lived in St. Charles County, Missouri, in the 1800s. Molly was a practitioner of voodoo, and the locals often came to seek her knowledge or healing remedies. However, when freak weather decimated the year's harvest, the villagers turned on Molly, blaming her evil witchcraft for their misfortune. An angry mob descended on her home. Molly Crenshaw stood defiantly, placing a curse on anyone who dared to touch her. The frightened, desperate crowd ignored her words and tore her to pieces. Fearful that Molly might seek revenge from beyond the grave, they buried each of her limbs, her severed head and dismembered torso, in separate, unmarked locations across St. Charles County. But beneath the Missouri soil, those body parts are still moving, creeping, crawling, wiggling, worming their way through the earth. Year by year, they draw a little closer, trying to reassemble the living corpse of Molly Crenshaw so that she might take her revenge on those that wronged her. For decades, thrill-seeking teenagers have tried to find Molly Crenshaw's grave, or graves. It was almost a rite of passage to creep through shadowy forests by night in search of century-old body parts. Local legend says that two high school football players found Molly's tombstone in the 1950s and tried to steal it. Their bodies were discovered the next morning, impaled on the graveyard fence. They say the witch's ghost still haunts the countryside of St. Charles County to this day. Those who seek to disturb her grave are marked for revenge. So, best stay out of those Missouri woods. Who knows what you might stumble across, clawing its way out of the cold, damp earth. The Phantom Hitchhiker of Black Horse Lake, Montana. There isn't much to see on Highway 87 as it cuts its way through Cascade County towards Fort Benton. Just an endless expanse of flat fields, the occasional telephone pole, and perhaps an old Native American man with long dark hair and black eyes, dressed all in denim, waiting for a ride. Since the 1960s, dozens of motorists have reported seeing this man hitchhiking along Highway 87 in the dead of night. The story goes that as your vehicle approaches, he will vanish into thin air, only to suddenly reappear right in front of you, smashing into your windscreen with an awful crunch and rolling up over the roof of your car. You slam on the brakes and leap out to see if the hitchhiker is all right. But he is gone. You are alone on the dark, desolate highway. There won't be so much as a scratch on your vehicle. Local legend says that the Phantom Hitchhiker is the ghost of a man killed in a hit-and-run one dark night out on that barren freeway, doomed to relive the last few painful moments of his existence for all eternity. If a driver fails to stop after hitting the Phantom, it is said he will emerge from the darkness at a full sprint to chase the vehicle with inhuman speed. While most would dismiss such an odd occurrence as a product of exhaustion or an overactive imagination, this urban legend refuses to die. The sheer number of people who have claimed to see the Phantom Hitchhiker over the last 60 years suggests there is something unexplained lurking in the shadows on that highway near Black Horse Lake. Haunted Hummel Park, North Omaha, Nebraska. The stories about Hummel Park range from the bloody to the downright bizarre. According to local legend, the area is haunted by the ghost of a German pioneer named Jacob Klatinoff, who was murdered by his wife Lorinda before she fled with a new lover. His body is said to be buried somewhere in the park's wooded hills, and his spirit can be seen drifting through the trees, crying out in a hoarse whisper, "Where is Lorinda? Don't leave me." The park is also rumored to be the home of a staircase to hell, and of a secret lodge of devil worshippers who practice animal and human sacrifice above ancient Native American burial grounds. Lynching supposedly took place in the park in the early 1900s, and the trees that line the nearby pathways curve oddly inwards towards the road, perhaps bowing under the weight of the victims' souls. Easily the most bizarre urban legend attached to Hummel Park is the belief that there is a colony of albino cannibals living somewhere in its dark woods, either underground, in a ramshackle house, or even inside the trees themselves. They supposedly fled the city generations ago to escape persecution and have lurked in the forests ever since, preying on those who visit the park late at night and feasting on their flesh. Since Hummel Park was created in the 1930s, the bodies of numerous murder victims have been found dumped or buried in shallow graves within its boundaries. Several killings have occurred inside the park itself, most notably in 1983, when a woman named Laura LaPointe was beaten to death by two prostitutes, and in 1992, when a high school student was led into the dark woods by his friend and shot, execution style, in the back of the head. In the daylight, Hummel Park doesn't seem so bad. However, when the sun goes down and the shadows lengthen, perhaps it's wise to stay far, far away. It seems there are things going on in the darkness that are best left unseen. The Megabucks Curse, Las Vegas, Nevada. In March 2000, a cocktail waitress named Cynthia J. Brennan was playing the Megabucks slot machine at the Desert Inn Casino in Las Vegas. After just a few spins, Cynthia hit the big time, winning a jackpot of $34.9 million. At the time, her payout was the largest in Vegas history. It seemed as though luck was truly on her side. However, 6 weeks later, a drunk driver plowed into the back of Cynthia's car while she waited at a stoplight. Her sister, who was in the passenger seat, died shortly after the horrific accident. Cynthia survived, but was left paralyzed from the neck down. Before long, whispers of the Megabucks curse began to swirl around Las Vegas. These rumors only increased when, 5 months later, the Desert Inn Casino, where Cynthia J. Brennan had won the fabulous jackpot, closed its doors forever. The establishment was imploded a year later, reduced to nothing but rubble. Then, in 2003, an anonymous software engineer from LA won a staggering $39.7 million on the Megabucks slots. He allegedly died just days later of a massive drug overdose in the penthouse suite of the Excalibur Hotel. Other winners of the Megabucks jackpot are said to have been killed in freak plane crashes, murdered in LA gang fights, or simply dropped dead from heart attacks, and seemingly in fine health. One winner was supposedly executed by the Las Vegas mob, and his bloody corpse stashed under a hotel bed, only to be discovered days later when guests complained of a terrible smell in their room. While most of these alleged deaths have never been officially confirmed, many of the keen gamblers who visit Las Vegas still believe in the Megabucks curse. Maybe it's best to stick to blackjack, just to be on the safe side. The Island Axe Murderer, New Hampshire. A scattering of rocky islands known as the Isles of Shoals lies just a few miles off the coast of New Hampshire. They are a popular and picturesque holiday destination with a bloody, sordid past. Numerous vicious murders are said to have occurred on the Isles, most notably in 1873 when two Norwegian immigrant women were brutally killed on Smutty Nose Island by a local fisherman called Louis Wagner. He hacked them to death with an axe, intent on robbing the few small homes scattered across the island. Wagner was arrested and hanged for the murders in 1875. However, it is said the restless spirits of the butchered women still linger on the rocky isle, and that you can hear their desperate wails and screams for help ringing out across the sea in the dead of night. Smutty Nose is also said to be haunted by the spirits of 16 drowned Spanish sailors who washed up on its barren shores after their vessel ran aground and was destroyed in 1813. They can be seen wandering the lonely beaches, signaling forlornly to nearby ships, begging for passage home. Legendary pirate Captain Edward Teach, better known as Blackbeard, was supposedly a frequent visitor to the Isles of Shoals. Rumor has it he buried a vast treasure there, and that he ordered his many wives to stand guard over the loot until he returned. They performed this task until their dying day, and their pale ghosts now stalk the island, watching the horizon, waiting for the captain to release them from their eternal duty. There are reports from across the Isles of phantom ships, disembodied screams, floating lights, sightings of translucent women in white dresses, and even the ghost of an old man with a rotting face. It sounds like the perfect place to spend your holidays. A vacation to die for. The Watcher, Westfield, New Jersey. As far as urban legends go, this one is remarkably new and was first reported back in 2014. However, its lack of history does not make it any less unsettling. In June 2014, the Broaddus family moved into their dream home, a $1.3 million house at 657 Boulevard in Westfield, New Jersey. A day or so later, an odd letter landed on their doormat. Dearest new neighbor at 657 Boulevard, welcome to the neighborhood. How did you end up here? Did 657 Boulevard call to you with its force within? The house has been the subject of my family for decades now. My grandfather watched it in the 1920s, my father in the 1960s. It is now my time. Do you know the history of the house? Do you know what lies within its walls? Why are you here? I will find out. Over the next few months, more bizarre letters arrived. It became very clear the author was watching the house. They identified the Broaddus children by name and remarked upon little things the family were changing in the property as they carried out renovations. The language used in these letters started to take on an even more sinister tone. Do you need to fill the house with the young blood I requested? Better for me. Was it greed to bring me your children? Once I know their names, I will call to them and draw them to me. Have they found what's in the walls yet? They will in time. Will the young blood play in the basement? Or are they too afraid to go down there alone? I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream. The ominous ramblings continued, growing more unhinged and threatening as time went by. The terrified Broaddus family moved out of the property 6 months later. The unsettling story of the Watcher had already spread around town, so they found it impossible to sell the house, and almost as difficult to find someone willing to rent it from them. It wasn't until 2019 that the family were finally able to rid themselves of the seemingly cursed 657 Boulevard, selling it for $500,000 less than they originally paid for it. The case is still under investigation, but the anonymous author has yet to be identified. Perhaps we will never know who they were, what they wanted, or just what is inside the walls of 657 Boulevard. We would love to hear your own thoughts and ideas about these unsettling urban legends. Please join us next week where we will continue our road trip through the 50 states of fear. If you have enjoyed this episode, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PixelElixir, and on Instagram at Bite-Sized Frights. You can also subscribe at bitesizedfrights.com so that you never miss any of our terrifying tales. This has been a Pixel Elixir production, narrated by Chris Kay. Thank you for listening. Until the next bite, my friends.